as PJ said, I'm doing a follow-on from that wonderful message about our Good Shepherd last Sunday, and just continuing to speak on hearing his voice, because we can. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Isn't that absolutely awesome? We hear him on the outside through his written book. God speaks to us from the outside in, through the Word, through the Holy Scriptures. But he also speaks to us from the inside. Because if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in your born again spirit. He's on the inside of you. And I think we don't stop often enough to really consider that. The wow of God on the inside. And so I've got this privilege of speaking about the Holy Spirit this morning and the manifestation and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Everything he does on earth, he does by the Spirit through the Word. The Father and the Son are in heaven. The Holy Spirit is the active member of the Godhead, if you like, working on earth through the Word. And in John chapters 14, 15 and 16, they're all about the lead up to the crucifixion. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew how it was going to happen. And he knew the horror, really, of what lay ahead. And I think anybody, if they really know their time is imminent when they're going to die, they speak things that are really most important to them. The most important things on their hearts. And actually, four or five times, he spoke to them and told them, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And each time, he called them the Helper, capital H. We're going to just tune right in, John 16. This is from the Amplified, verse 7. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth, which he always does, when I say it's profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because, amazing, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, just read and receive his names, who he is here, the Comforter. We've received from him this morning, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby. If I don't go, he won't come into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Now, I think when he said that to them, they very much doubted that. Not maybe that the Holy Spirit would come. I think the part that would have challenged them is the part that would have challenged me, which is that it is better that I go and he comes. I mean, what could be better? What possibly could be better than having Jesus in his human body right beside you, able to smile, able to, you know, talk to you in his human voice, do all the things that we humans can do? And I think if we were given the choice, honestly, do you want Jesus by your side or the Holy Spirit in you? Many of us would be tempted to say, I'd like Jesus in his human body, please. However, Jesus, who never lies, always tells the truth, says it's better. It's better to have God on the inside than to have God on the outside. Now, all the way through the Old Testament, God spoke to his people either in an audible voice or through a visit from angels. Wow. It was quite dramatic in the Old Testament. And but in the New Testament or in the New Covenant, we have God on the inside. He actually speaks to us on the inside, in your born-again spirit. The main way we hear him, well, the main way you hear him is in your born-again spirit, which is where he lives. Now, I've got this diagram. I'm hoping it communicates what I need it to communicate to you. I'm using cogs this morning. You'll have seen this diagram many times before, but the Holy Spirit lives in your human spirit if you're born again. Now, the Holy Spirit should be turning your soul. which in turn then turns your body. Interlocking cogs. PJ's got it. Praise God. I hope somebody else has. Okay, so that's the plan. That he works on the inside, turning or influencing your soul, your mind, your will and emotions, which in turn, because basically your soul will rule your body. It just does. Out there in the whole world, billions of people, their body is led by their soul. If they're hungry, they'll eat. If they think something, they'll go get it. You know, if they, mind, will and emotions rule the body. So the Holy Spirit moves in so that his spirit can move your soul, which will then in turn move your body. The problem occurs, of course, when there's a disconnect. And we've got another diagram, hopefully, that demonstrates that. So the problem is when we disconnect or live independent of the Holy Spirit. We do things our way. We live by what we think and what we feel and what we want and other people think and feel and want. Basically, we're led by the outside. We're led by circumstances. Whereas God's plan is we're not outside in people anymore. We're inside out. We're led by the inside. So John 17, Jesus said this to his disciples, John 17, verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. So if his Holy Spirit is in your born-again spirit, you're in the world. I mean, we don't need convincing of that. We're all very well aware of that. But we're not of the world. We're called to do life different. We're supernatural beings living in a natural world. And actually, it's really helpful to be conscious of that. When the scriptures speak of spirit, soul, body, it's always in that order. Spirit, soul, body. Never body, soul, spirit. But we often get the order wrong. We often say body, soul, spirit because we're very body conscious. Body, soul. But actually, if you start thinking more, I'm spirit. Actually, Kenneth Hagin said this, and you can't better it because it's the truth. We are spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. I'm a spirit in a body. You've never actually seen the real me, and neither have I. That's an awesome thought because I'm spirit. My spirit is eternal, same as yours. It will go on and live forever. In my spirit, I have eternal life. But praise God, my spirit, and my goal is that my spirit, with the Holy Spirit leading it, will move my soul, move my body. But if you want to grow up spiritually, you need to become spirit conscious. If I could just give you that top tip. Anyway, so your spirit's alive to God, but your soul doesn't get born again. Your soul actually doesn't change at all day one. You might experience some nice things in your soul, but actually your soul needs to be retrained. And the only thing that's going to retrain it is this book. Yes and amen. And it's called The Renewal of the Mind. Your mind needs retraining. You need to start to think different, because if we think different, we'll do different. We see things differently, we'll do things differently. Romans 12 says we're transformed by the renewing of the mind. So the word of God restores our soul. It will save your soul and it will restore your soul. If you need your soul restoring, the word of God will do it. It's the Holy Spirit working through the word. But the two, they work together, hand in hand, the Word and the Holy Spirit. We absolutely need both. They don't actually work independently of each other. And you'll kind of hear that bit further on. But so we have his Word, his eternal scriptures that are always the same, eternal, will never change, are true and right and work in every generation and will until Jesus comes again. But we have another helper. Praise God. Just say to the person next to you, I've got another helper. Oh, I'm great. Aren't you grateful? I can't tell you. I run out of words to explain how grateful I am for the Holy Spirit. He's my best friend. Really. He's the person I'm most comfortable with. He's the person I talk to most often. He's the person I hear from most often. And I've developed that over the years because I've learned I can rely on him. And he's become as real to me as the person sat next to you. But so we have him on the inside and within the Holy Spirit, within God on the inside, Colossians tells us, Colossians 2 verse 3, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How much do we need that? If we're honest and humble enough to admit it, we don't know it all. In fact, I come to the conclusion daily, I know very little. I need his wisdom. I need his knowledge. Because he sees it all, you see. He sees all things. He knows all things, both present and future. Your present and your future, he sees ahead of time. So he always knows the right decision. He always has the best plan because in him are all the treasures, nothing missing of wisdom and knowledge. And actually, 1 Timothy 1, we're doing quite a thorough Bible study this morning. There's a lot of scriptures going to come up, but it says here, now to the King eternal, this is the one we've been worshipping, who's been blessed by your worship. If it's been from the heart this morning, you've blessed this one. This King eternal, immortal, invisible, the God who alone is wise, to him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. To God who alone is wise. Or you could put it like this, he's the only wise God. He's the only wise God, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So he's the one who knows how to handle finances well. He's the one who knows how to raise children well. He's the one who knows how to do relationships well. He's the one who knows how to go through trouble well. He's the one who knows. He's the one who knows. And Proverbs 8 says, by God's wisdom, we reign. We don't reign over people, but we can reign over the stuff of life. Ha! If we listen to him and follow his lead, he will show us how to do life well. And as the body of Christ on earth, his plan is that we're a group of people that do life so well, the world look at us and say, they got it together. How come you know what to do? How come somehow things always work out for you? We're tapping into another source of wisdom, a source of wisdom this world knows nothing about. And you know, it's not just spiritual things, it's the stuff of everyday life. I find that so great. I'm so thankful. You know, I think we can all at times be tempted to pigeonhole God, and that's my Sunday box, and that's my connect group, and that's this area of serving, and that's the Jesus slot in my week. He wants to be involved in every aspect of all of life. I'm convinced of it. He wants to be involved in every single detail of life, advising, leading, on everything. And last week I lost my bank card. That's a moment, isn't it, when that happens? And it's not happened for a while. It used to happen really quite it used to happen really quite regularly. But it's not happened for a while. But I lost it. And you know, that mild panic just starts. You feel it. It kind of comes from here up, just started. And I was like, right, retrace your steps, Andrea. Where were you? When did you last lose it? And your head is motoring. And don't panic. Anyway, I just heard the Lord. Because you start to move a bit quicker, don't you? Well, I certainly do. Rummaging. And I heard the Lord. And actually, this is one thing he says to me fairly regularly. I got to learn this. Note to self. Slow down, is what I heard. Slow down. I had to deliberately, physically slow my body down from wanting to literally run around like a headless chicken. Just calm the heck down, calm my body down and just approach it. a whole lot slower, and he said, let the peace of God reign. I'm like, oh, yes. Okay, Lord. I'm not going to fret. It only causes harm, the Bible says. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to let the peace of God reign. But I really need to find this God, Lord. Where is it? And I'd looked in several places where I thought it might be. Anyway, it just came to me. It's in your coat pocket, in that short black coat hanging there. Sure enough, I went. Was it there? Of course it was there. He knows. And he wants to help us with the stuff of life. I'm so grateful for that. We never get to a crossroads in life, in your day even, where he's not wanting to lead. Proverbs 8, we're going to look at it. Proverbs 8, verse 34 says, blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me, this is talking about the Lord, find life and receive favor from the Lord. Those who find me find life. But blessed are those who are watching, waiting. We need to watch and wait for wisdom, God's wisdom. Ask for it. Anyway, next comes the warning verse. Verse 36. Those who fail to find me harm themselves. Self-harm. It's a whole different level of self-harm. And all who hate me, this is pretty extreme, isn't it? Love death. But that's where flesh will take you to. That's the thing of it. Our heads kind of argue that. Flesh will always argue that because it always will try and convince you it's right. But there is a way that seems right to a man or woman, but in the end it leads to death. That's another proverb. It will push and it will drive. If ever you're feeling pushed or driven, you need to recognize, wake up and recognize that's flesh operating right now. It might be your own or it might be somebody else's trying to push or drive you. It likes to argue its point to get what it wants. But the way of the Spirit is so different. We've got this definition of the wisdom of God, which is just amazing. In James 3:17, God's way. But the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. No wrong ulterior motive. Then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Isn't that wonderful? Who wouldn't want to listen to that kind of wisdom? Well, ask God's wisdom, pure and peaceable. And one surefire way to identify the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, it will carry a peace to it. We were singing this morning about the peace of God. There's a scripture in Luke that says, he guides your feet into the way of peace. There's a way for all of us to walk through this life, and it's with him, but it's always into the way of peace. I love that. One of the ways we can identify his leading is peace. And it's a supernatural peace. You can still be having chaos and trouble on the outside, but you've got this unreasonable calmness. It's a gift of God. Colossians 3, verse 15. Talking about the peace of God, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called. He's called us to a life of peace. Think of that. That's his plan. Called in one body and be thankful. The amplified version of that verse, I love it so much, but I would love to quite often use the amplified, but we'd still be here at 3 o'clock. That it's so good because it says, let the peace of God act as umpire continually. Well, you know what an umpire does. Is it in or is it out? The umpire will call it. Is it right or is it wrong? Let peace call it. Yeah. Look for peace. Identify peace. He doesn't lead us from the outside, remember. He leads us from the inside. And I want to speak about a little bit about the inner witness. I want to speak about the inner witness and the inner voice. God on the inside. So first of all, the inner witness. The most important thing that has ever happened to you, could ever happen to any human being on earth, is becoming born again. Yes. Having our sins forgiven, that's not the end goal, by the way. That's the means to the end. Yes. having our sins forgiven so that we could receive eternal life. Okay? That was the end goal, which starts now, by the way. It's not just heaven. Eternal life is knowing him. And that's what this is all about. Walking through life, knowing him. Living, experiencing, sharing his eternal life with anyone and anything. Just eternal life in our head, in our heart, in our mouths, through our actions. Anyway, I've got a bit off track there. But in the most important thing that could happen to anybody, getting born again, he lets you know that how? Through the inner witness. Something on the inside of you. I remember Andy Elms calling it his knower. Speaking of his spirit, your knower knows. You don't know how you know, you just know. And it says in 1 John 5, verse 10, he who believes in the Son of God has the what in himself or herself, the witness. I'm not even going to go on to read the next bit because that's really what I'm wanting to home in on. He lets you know you're his child by his inner witness. And I remember years ago we had a minister here called Mike Skelton. And he used to say, and it was brilliant, I loved it so much because it kind of helped me identify the witness. He said, how do you know, it was speaking in the training center, how do you know you're going to heaven? And we all just sat there. We were like, well, we don't know. We don't know how we know. We just know. I can't explain how I know I'm going to heaven. I just know. I have an inner witness. And if you're born again this morning, so do you. If the worst that, you know, not by over by a bus as you step off across those lights later on today, and you were taken, well, how do you know where you're going? We know it with the witness. We know it through the scriptures. But you have that confirmation or a knowing on the inside of you. His spirit bears witness with your spirit. Now, it's not a physical feeling. You don't feel it in your body. It's a sense. It's just a sense. It's not here. It's lower down. It's here. Paul, when he was being taken to Rome by ship, he knew it was going to end in disaster. And it actually says in Acts 27, verse 10, he advised them, saying, men, I perceive, look at that word perceive. Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. They ignored Paul. He wasn't a sailor. What did he know? Had he had a crash course in sailing just before he got on board? I don't think so. Why would we listen to him? And they didn't. And it did. It did end in disaster. Paul knew it. He didn't know it here. He knew it here. His spirit was picking up something from God. His spirit was picking up something from the Holy Spirit who lived in his spirit. Still does. I find that awesome to think Paul's still alive. All of them. All of the people who were God followers and God lovers still alive. Anyway, that's a whole other dimension of life going on. But here on earth, we're called to know him in this life and follow him. And how can we follow him if we don't hear and learn to recognize, pick up his voice and his leadings? Romans 8 verse 14 says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. How do you know that's a child of God? They're led by the Spirit of God. They're moving. And one of the ways is through the inner witness. Now, I've used this many times, and for me it's very helpful. The inner witness for me and for you, if you kind of learn to recognize this. It's a bit like a traffic light system. On the inside, an internal red, amber, green. And we've got a slide. I'm hoping this will get over to you what I want. So when you have a red light on the inside of you, the more you pray about something, the worse you feel. You can't explain it because very often your head will fight that. And your head will be telling you it's all good and great. And why wouldn't we? Why shouldn't I? But you're uneasy on the inside. You're uncomfortable on the inside. You're a fool to ignore that. Conversely, you know, the opposite, of course, is true. The more you pray about something, or the more even you think about something, the better you feel. Remember, it's not physical, it's a sense. But I do want to say at this juncture, and it's really important to say, when we're in the flesh, if we think and pray about something and feel good about it, we can be misled by the flesh. So, you know, I can feel very good about something in my flesh if I think about it and pray about it. I can convince myself it's God. But here's how we know. Here's how we judge. We're going to go into it later. But if it contradicts the book, it's not God. It's as simple as that. Okay? Amber, by the way, you never move on an amber. If you're kind of confused and you're just not sure, just as you would in a car on the road, you should never move on amber. Don't be pushed. Don't be pushed. If you're in doubt, don't. It's a really good code to live by. If in doubt, don't. I've learned that. It's taken a while through mistakes. But anyway, because the devil always appeals to your flesh. Have you noticed how he's always, it's the same as flesh, because flesh responds to the enemy, but he's always pushing for a decision. He will use pressure and circumstances to try and push you for a decision. Just don't be pushed. The key to this is surrender. The key to kind of really being able to identify the will of God is saying, not my will, but yours then, Lord. Yes. To me, it doesn't matter if it's left. If it's this way or it's that way, I trust you. In you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You can see what's ahead of me. So if you're saying it's this, then that's just fine by me. I'm ready for that. I'll go that way. I'm not going to be led by my head. I'm not going to be led by my emotions. I'm not going to be led by my fears or even by my experiences. Or anybody else's fears or experiences. Because family and friends, well-meaning and with good motives, can often advise us in the wrong direction based on their own fears or experience. But well, we have one shepherd. What are you saying, Lord? I'm not saying that we don't receive counsel from other people, particularly if you're a new believer, we need to listen to godly wisdom. But if it agrees, if what they're saying agrees with this, then that's sound advice. Also, I've written down here, and I think it's really helpful to not be led by your own preset plan or your preset ideas, because we can all have them. You know, well, Lord, it needs to be this, in this time frame, in that colour. Honestly, I'm not even joking. That's how I was kind of approaching choosing a house. And it's true, isn't it? The Lord really, he did a number on me, because I decided that was my cut-off point in terms of how much it would cost, and I wouldn't be spending a penny more. And it needed to be in this area, and it kind of just, I had this image and the plan of how it should be. Anyway, there was this house that I am now in, came up for sale, amazingly. It had been sold at the weekend, but it came back on the market. They changed their mind. It's a new house. But the sticking point for me is it had a red front door. And right, you might think that sounds ridiculous, and I will admit it does. But the thing is, with where I live on the development, you can't change the colour of the door. So that was it. At the time, I was not a fan of red. Okay? Thank God I've since made friends with red. I quite like red. But I couldn't look at it. I couldn't even entertain the idea of buying a house with a red front door. That had to remain red. It's all true. Anyway, I was driving past, and actually you can see my house, like a little glimpse of it from the main road. I was driving past on the way to Pastor Judith and Sam's house. I don't know whether it was an actual ray of sunlight hit that red front door or whether it was just something in the spirit realm, but like that thing shone. It was gleaming out of the corner of my eye as I drove past, and I was like, I think I need to go and have a look at that house. Anyway, lo and behold, it ended up being the one. But it was I had to change my preset ideas. I had to be willing to yield. That's how we can be led. The only way we can be led, actually. One more thing on the witness of the Holy Spirit. He will always warn us before we get into the flesh. It's kind of like a nudge on the inside. He will always warn us if you're about to lose your temper, lose your patience, or do anything else that's outside of the will of God. There'll be a warning. There will certainly be a witness if you go ahead and do it anyway. If you grieve him, he will let you know. You will feel bad. Once you get born again, yes, you can still sin, but you can't feel good about it anymore. That's it. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful he doesn't let us continue living a life of sin that grieves him and feel okay about it. There's a, I'm feeling quite bad about that now. Praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If we ignore that, however, and go on repeat offending, something awful happens, which Scripture calls a seared conscience. And that's a dangerous place to get into, where you'll no longer be picking up any kind of witness in the Holy Spirit. Anyway, let's repent quick and put things right, is the conclusion to that. Absolutely. Right, the voice of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13. Love these verses. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Where's he guiding you? Not into the world, not into religion. He's going to guide you into truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. I love that ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's in your spirit. He will speak to your spirit. Not first to your head, okay? Just to understand the workings of it, how it operates in your life. He doesn't speak first to your head. He speaks to your spirit. Your spirit will be picking things up from the Holy Spirit that your head can't understand initially. But then the Holy Spirit will pass that on to your mind. It'll come just as a thought. It doesn't travel through the same thought processes as normal thinking. Like you don't 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I arrive at 10. It's not like that. He can jump you 1 to 12. You've not gone through the process. It's like a bolt out of the blue thought, like, wow. And you kind of learn to recognize that was not my thought. This is a new and surprising thought. God, is this you? Anyway, it comes after prayer. It can come as just a thought. It can come through the word. It's like he'll put a spotlight on a scripture to you. It'll just be highlighted. Through a message you're hearing, in a conversation with somebody, they might just say a phrase and it's like a buzzer goes off on the inside. That's the Lord speaking here. Okay. Verse 14, he'll let you know things. Go back if you don't mind. I wanted to speak about dreams and visions very briefly. You could do a whole session on this because one of the ways, all the way through Scripture, from the beginning, he's communicated through dreams and visions. I find that awesome. I love that activity because you do nothing. You just either go to sleep or you just, you know, you're praying and something will come. You can have an open vision where I'm looking over there, my eyes wide open and I see something. You see something or your eyes are closed and you just see a picture or have an impression of something. And just a brief testimony, really, about him telling you things to come. Our mum was seriously ill for a long time, and it was just desperate watching her deteriorate. And I was talking to the Lord about it, and it didn't happen the same day, but it was a couple of nights later. I had a dream. And I just had a dream, and I saw her in a rock, a bit like Moses, you know, and he was hidden in the cleft of a rock, and it said all the goodness of the Lord passed before him. And I woke up in the early hours of the morning, and I just knew. I knew it was her time. I knew he was going to take her. And I knew she would see all the goodness of the Lord pass before her continually, but it wouldn't be in this life. And it was about 4 months after that she went to be with the Lord. But it was a relief. And it actually enabled me to prepare mentally and prepare my heart. I shared it with Kaz. It was so good of the Lord to prepare us in that way, you know? And he wants to do this. He wants to warn us of things. He wants to prepare us as we go through life. And I also have found that the more the dramatic the leading, it's kind of a warning that there's some rough sailing ahead. There's things I can't tell you about, but I've been warned, and my spirit knew, but my head didn't. But he warned me in some serious ways of what was ahead of me, and it wasn't good. It was rough sailing, but I was so grateful to have had those warnings, because I knew when it hit, okay, you warned me, you've got me, rain came, wind blew, I'm going to make it through, you know? You're for me, you're with me. There's a going through, but I'm going through it with you, and I will fear no evil, for you are with me. All dreams are not from him. We're all quite clear on that. I don't know if there's anything in this. You eat cheese at bedtime and you have some wacky woo-woo dreams. I don't know. It's quite clear not all dreams are from him. Some dreams are from the enemy. Oh, we need to wise up to those ones. But anyway, whatever, we judge it all by the word. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this. Do not quench the spirit. Love him. Desire him. Eagerly desire, it says, doesn't it? Next verse. Do not despise prophecies, because we need them. We're not led by prophecies these days, praise God. That's how they were led in the Old Testament. We're led by the Spirit on the inside, but prophecies will confirm. And when he speaks through a prophetic word, oh, it's such a precious thing to have. Anyway, next verse. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. How do we test it? We hold it up against the word. Does it agree with the word or not? Does it contradict the word? If it contradicts the word, if anything you seemingly pick up from the Holy Spirit, if it contradicts the word, you immediately reject it. You don't even entertain it. But anyway, he'll always point us to Jesus, because his job is to reveal Jesus. His job is to put the spotlight on Jesus, and his job is to make Jesus more real to you. Wonderful. He'll remind you of what he says. He'll remind you of Christ in you, who you are in Christ, who he is in you. And something I've written down here, it's really important. We need to be aware and conscious of what he's actively doing in our lives. He's actively working to break you out of the natural, to break you out of being moved by everything you feel and see and think. Actively working to remind you there's a whole other realm, the spirit realm, that's very real, just invisible. But the spirit realm actually determines the natural realm. But he wants us to wake up to the spirit realm. And he wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit, not deceiving spirits who are at work in the world. So he's going to remind you of the words of Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do all things. Come on. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's our helper. He's the spirit of faith. He will always speak words of faith. No matter how awful it is, he will speak faith. John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I've said to you. He will bring to your remembrance all things I've said to you. You can't be reminded of something you haven't heard in the first place. You can't be reminded of something you haven't read in the first place. So if the word isn't in your heart, he can't remind you of it. It's so simple. It's just so simple, isn't it? I often think of it like a vending machine. A vending machine, you know, these don't get them really very much these days. I used to have them a lot when I was a kid, often at swimming pools. You know, you do your exercise, you've done something really brilliant, and then you come out and have two packets of crisps and a chocolate bar and a fizzy drink. But anyway, perhaps that's why they don't do them anymore. But those machines have to be uploaded, don't they? So that things can be downloaded. We have to upload on the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit, when you're saying, Lord, lead me, I don't know what to do, he can come along and remind you of that scripture. Because he speaks the language of the Word. He speaks in scripture. That's his language. That's his language. When you pray, most often he will answer you with scripture, which is why as new believers, as all believers, we need a daily diet of the Word. And I put an emphasis on daily. Don't go a day. You can't afford to go a day without the Word because your mind starts to shift and become natural. Anyway, it will come as just a thought. It will sound like your own thought. We think it's our own thought most often. But if it's speaking, if you've prayed about something and you're asking him to speak and you have a thought of a scripture, that's God. Yes. He'll also speak words and phrases. You know, like I was saying earlier, slow down. And then the scripture, let the peace of God reign. But slow down. These words, these phrases will come to you. I mean, he often speaks through creation. Of course he does. But he'll speak through road signs. He speaks to me through slogans on a van or a lorry. There's one of the couriers has the kind of slogan on the lorry is delivering winners. He speaks to me through that one every single time because that's his business. He creates winners and he sends winners out into the world. He's delivering winners. You might not feel like a winner. You might look at your life and say there's not much evidence of a winner. But if you get the Word into you, more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm more than a conqueror. I am more than able to scale this mountain and come down the other side through him who loved me. You develop a conquering, winning mindset. But he reminds us of things. He will remind you of things through things you see, through your physical eyes. He'll speak. Mostly, though, he'll speak his word. So if the word isn't going in, it will limit. It won't stop you hearing the voice, but it will limit you hearing the voice. It will certainly limit your accuracy of hearing the voice and limit you hearing specific words. So read the general to hear him for the specific. Do the general to hear him for the specific. You're not going to find in here, should I move house? If yes, which house? Should I change my job? Should I buy this? Should I buy that? It's not in here. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. But if you ask him, he'll lead. If you ask him, he'll answer. You just have to be willing for left or right. You have to be willing for whatever it is he wants to lead you into. And trust him. Blessed is a man and woman that trusts in him. Oh, there's such peace comes from trusting him. I don't want to lead my own life. I've got to that glorious place, thank God, where I realize I make a mess of it every time. There isn't a time when I've taken the steering wheel and got it going in a good direction. It's always landed me in trouble. So I've learned, let him lead. I let you lead, Lord, gladly. So a scripture will come or an impression will come at the time, or you might pray about something and nothing comes at all. But it'll come later. You give it to him, he'll speak. And there's this brilliant proverb, Proverbs 16, verse 3. Some of you will know this. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Lord, I hand it over to you. Let it be how you want it, your way, your timing, just do it your way. I give it to you. Order my thoughts. Get my thinking going in the right direction. He'll do it. I'm going to finish pretty much nearly. Don't worry when you get it wrong. I was thinking about learning to drive. I mean, I was terrible. All learner drivers are bad, but it's particularly bad. I crunched the gears. I actually think I mounted the pavement several times. I had three instructors. One of them, genuinely, one of them made an excuse anyway, said he'd had, because he wanted rid. He says, there's no hope for this one. She shouldn't be allowed. Anyway, praise God, it didn't stop me. I continued. I persevered. And thank you. I'll take that. I kept learning. This is where I'm wanting to get to. When you first learn anything, you make mistakes. But I kept learning, and I got better at it. Well, how do you learn to recognize his voice? Keep listening. How do you get to know anybody's voice? You have to keep listening to them speak. A human voice, you have to keep hearing it, and then you recognize it. Keep reading the word. And when you read, don't just, you know, do you? And that's the word for today. Amen. Pray. He's there. Talk to him. Don't just have your reading the word slot. Talk to him. He's right there with you. Pray. But then as you go out into your day, I know I'm speaking to so many converted people who already do this, but I just want to encourage you, talk to him more. He's right there. Talk to him throughout the day. Well, what are you saying? What do you think? And it will come as just a thought. He'll speak back, and it will come as just a thought that will sound like your own, but if it agrees with Scripture, you can put the weight of your whole life on that. You can be confident in it. And start to move on that. Sons of God, Romans 8:14, are led by the Spirit of God. It takes us beyond the limitation of our own minds. It takes us beyond the limitations and the kind of fears of our own emotions, all the kind of wrong emotions. It's not always fear, but it brings you into boldness. When you know you've heard him, it gives you such a boldness. You start stepping out different. But we've got to give him opportunity to speak. I'm going to finish with this. And it's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Well-known verses, but amazing verses if we do them. Trust in the Lord with half your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways? Does that mean all my ways? In every aspect of my life, home, work, church, out on the street with strangers, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your steps. If you keep inviting him to lead, he'll lead. If you acknowledge him, he can't possibly lead you if you ignore him. How could he? How could anybody? We need to incline our ear to hear. Really, this is the thing of it. You've got an external set and an internal set. And dogs, I have a dog. I know many of you have a dog. But they're really good at this. If they want to hear better, their ears prick up. I love to see that. I sing to my dog just to see his ears prick up. He doesn't like, well, I don't know if he likes it or not, but it makes me smile. PJ will sing opera to him, and he's really like, gets into a frenzy. She's naughty like that, you know. Anyway, horses, this stuff goes on, doesn't it? They literally move their whole ear to amplify the sound. We've got to learn to do that in the spirit. Yeah. Prick your ears up. Don't just soldier on, because this is the way I've always done it. What are you saying, Lord? It's what they do. It's what she did. No. What are you saying, Lord? I acknowledge you in this. What are you saying to me that I should do? Look, final. I know I keep saying final, but it really kind of nearly is. It's not just for mature believers. And wonderfully, we have some new believers and nearly new believers amongst us. This is for all his kids. It's fantastic. He wants all of us to be led by the Spirit. Paul, I was reading Paul in Acts 9 about his conversion. It's phenomenal. When he was first saved, I mean day one, moments after he recognized the shortest prayer ever prayed for salvation, "Who are you, Lord?" But it was a recognition he's Lord. he heard the Lord say to him, because he was blinded, wasn't he? He actually heard the Lord say to him, go to a man, go out of the city, get up, get out of the city, and go to a man called Ananias, who's going to lay hands on you, you're going to receive your sight. Now that's quite specific, isn't it? Very. The point is, newly saved, he heard crystal clear the voice of the Spirit speaking to him. We all hear God. If you're born again, you hear God. You've just got to get better at recognizing the voice. And on important things, I will say, just a kind of safety note, on important things, if you're a new believer, get some confirmation from a mature believer until you really know the word of God yourself and are used to hearing his voice, because there are deceiving spirits, small s, out there who would love to lead you astray. But anyway, the good news is he, the Holy Spirit, wants to lead. And the Lord wants to lead our Father, our good Heavenly Father. He wants to lead his children by the Word and the Spirit. You just need to believe for it and be open to it, actually. Incline your ear to hear. Let's stand. I have finally finished. If we could have that Proverbs 3 back on the screen, please. Those wonderful verses. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's say this together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. This is his way of doing life, church. That's it right there. If we did that on a daily basis, we would be amazed, A, of what he would save us from. Remember, he warns us of things to come. But B, of what he would bring us into. Yes. Oh, yes. Awesome things. Yes. A spirit-filled, spirit-led life is awesome. Our potential in God is awesome. Now, it's unusual what I'm just going to say here. Unusual to do this. But next week, there's going to be a third part to this. And I'm going to bring a crucial key. We are going to bring a crucial key that is vital to being led by the Spirit. There wasn't space in this message to do it. It's almost like a message all by itself. But please don't miss it. That's what I want to get to. Please don't miss, because it's really important. But before we finish, we're just going to take a couple of moments to pray for one another according to Colossians 1, verse 9. I think we've got it. Since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So it's just that last bit there. Just pray for one another that you will be filled with the knowledge of God, and the Holy Spirit will give you his wisdom and his understanding for all of life.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.